As we look to the scriptures in this last book, we look in a few scriptures, not all of them, but as it was read this morning, amen, the word of God says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich." Amen. As we look to the Lord in this 14th part, in this last church, stepping into a new reality, the real world, we come now to this 7th church on this last Sunday in July. It would seem that the Bible was saved the best for last, but instead we find ourselves faced with the worst church. Our Lord had nothing good to say about this church, Laodicea, and he lets the angel of the church know it. The angel of the church gets the message before anyone in the congregation does, and God warns this angel of the church to make sure that they get the message, that the congregation gets the message, or God will hold the angel responsible for their guilt. A message is given to the angel to spare not, but to cry aloud, because now God is holding the entire church accountable for their actions. If the angel tells what he is told, then the blood of guilt is not on his hands. This angel must say, "Thus says the Lord," and the people must respond to the message as the Lord commands. The word comes and says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Our Lord identifies himself as the Amen, which means he is the correct one and the one with the final word. Jesus is the "it is so." He is also the faithful and true witness. That means there are no lies, fabrications, or deceit about him. He is not only faithful, but he is also true. And the truth he is. Jesus is identified also as the beginning of the creation, beginning of creation of God. He is self-existence. He is God. He is independent. Jesus Christ is the Amen, the guarantee of the truth. Everything Jesus identified himself as, it is the opposite of what the Laodiceans claimed to be. Laodicea was neither faithful nor true. They figured that they could take care of themselves without God's help, as if they were the beginning of creation, self-existent, self-sufficient, and independent. They moved about as if the world were centered around them. They measured their relationship to God through their tradition, fame, and riches, but not by God's word. As far as they were concerned, there was no place for God's grace or his word. The church was complacent, arrogant, and they loved bragging on self. It was all about them. If we are not careful, we can lose our fire for the Lord, and without realizing it, we can also become so accustomed to a way of living which does not have anything to do with being sold out for our Lord that we begin to adapt and adopt bad habits that can make us lukewarm. The church, a lukewarm church, don't love each other, but they find reason to hurt each other. A lukewarm church always are arguing and everything and never making up. A lukewarm church is only half committed to supporting the church. A lukewarm church is only half committed to witnessing to the glory of God. A lukewarm church is only half committed to studying the Bible and seeking God in prayer. A lukewarm church seeks self and not God. As lukewarm church wants all the glory and gives God none of the glory. A lukewarm church comes in and goes out, comes in empty and goes out empty. A lukewarm church cannot praise the Lord. A lukewarm church cannot give God thanks. A lukewarm church cannot think of the goodness of Jesus. A lukewarm church is only half committed. A lukewarm church is only half striving and half stepping. Well, lukewarm church is a condition of independence. They only want to be dependent on self. But I got news, hallelujah, that if people are dependent on self, they will fail. I have learned that we must depend on God and His Word. There is no need for anybody to depend on self. We must depend on God and His Word and His way and His talk and His walk. Because lukewarmness is a condition of independence. And they say there is no need for God. The fool have said that there is no God. And there is no difference between the two. One says that there's no need and the other one says that there is no God. Is in the same boat. But I'm so glad that God brought me out of darkness into His marvelous light. How about you? A lukewarm person says, I know all about it. You can't tell me anything. I know all about it. I know how to do this. And never in a position of humbleness and learning. See, but a lukewarm person does not see God. A lukewarm person sees self. A person who's cold may be against Christ, may be against the church. But God called cold people into His kingdom. And that's how they got saved. You and I once were cold. We were cold at one time. We were in darkness. But God delivered us because we heard a message and it pricked our hearts. But a lukewarm person will not see the need for salvation due to self, due to self-centeredness. But the person who is cold has a better chance. Luke 18:11 says, the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. In other words, I am not greedy or dishonest like everybody else. But the man with that and more, but he got before God and lied. Because he was so religious that he didn't have the right religion. He had religion that glorified himself instead of religion that glorified God. He had a false religion instead of a true religion. James talked about true religion. You read it, James chapter 1 and verse 27 talks about true religion, what true religion is. A prayer of what is not, but not what ought to be, is a prayer of this Pharisee. It's not, it's not so much the prayer of what is not. I'm not like this and I'm not like that. But what prayer ought to be? The prayer that ought to be should have been just like the publican who got before God and said, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I stand before a holy and righteous God. I have no right to stand before you, and I stand before you in my sinfulness. Thank you for letting me come before you. Let a man examine himself. And so a lukewarm person will not examine him or herself. A lukewarm person will say, I'm okay, just the way I am. So by the time this cold water that came from the mountain reached Laodicea, it had become lukewarm. It was a most unpleasant taste. I don't know if you ever tasted anything that you expected to be cold or hot, but it was lukewarm. You were not ready for it. It doesn't taste good. It doesn't taste right. And the first thing you do is that you want to get it out of your mouth. That's what you want to do. You don't want something that's not supposed to be there in there. So MacArthur says, some churches make the Lord weep. Others make him angry. The Laodicean church made him sick. How can you make Jesus sick to his stomach? I don't want to know, because I don't want to be in that situation. Dr. Gardner Taylor says, the word spitting by comparison is so nice, is so polite. But spew really means vomit. The stomach won't hold it. And what is half digested comes up all sour and impure and smelling and odorous. I will spew you. I will vomit you out of my mouth. What a description that we have here, that the Lord says to this church that he cannot stand lukewarmness, that he have to get them out and spew them out. Oh Lord, have mercy. I would that thou wert hot or cold. And we know that cold, we already said, is that you know where the cold stands, and the cold says, no, I don't want to do anything with that now. But it's easier to speak to a person who is cold, who has rejected God, to come to the house of God, than those who have been in and have taken God for granted. Living on the fence, walking the fence. I'm holy, I'm not holy, I'm holy, I'm not holy. And you don't know which one it is. You bring the person that lukewarmness. But then Jesus talks about hot, which means that the presence of our Savior through the Holy Spirit penetrates the believer with such a hot anointing that there is a fire burning within that cannot be humanly quenched by no man, not even self. A fire that makes one believe God every day that the Lord will provide. It is a fire that makes one get up even when you're tired and don't want to get up. It's a fire that makes one get up and say, I've got to do the Lord's work while it is day. I've got to do what he calls me to do. It is a fire that makes one wait on the Lord no matter what the situation is. It is a fire that makes one keep believing God even when everyone else doubts him. There's a fire that makes one trust God even when defeat, fear, and unbelief is in your face. It is a fire that makes one depend on God and his might and not self. But it is by his might and his power that we make it through. It is mean, it is a fire that makes one to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. It is a fire that makes one to have pep in your step, even when the odds are against you. Well, it is a fire that makes one enter into God's gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. It is a fire that says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It is a fire that lets us know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It is a fire that makes one know that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It is a fire that makes one know that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It is a fire that makes you run for Jesus. It is a fire that makes you shout for Jesus. It is a fire that makes you serve Jesus. It is a fire that gets you happy even when you are around sadness. It is a fire that makes you rejoice even if you got a pink slip. God, I know you will provide. It is a fire that keeps you worshiping God no matter what the situation may be. It is a fire, a fire, a fire that's deep down and shut up in your bones. It is a fire that makes you shout glory to God, praise the Lord.